Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Just kind of want to chase some things down in the Scripture more than anything tonight. I'd like for you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12, if you would. Matthew chapter 12, and make sure this is all on here, and we're doing right, and here lately, I'm getting nervous about recording because I always want to make sure that we get things recorded. And I had a deal Friday where I thought I was recording and I wasn't, wasted a lot of time. But the God must have been in it some way, somehow. So maybe it wasn't the right time or it wasn't the right thing to say. And God didn't want it out there. And so I trust him in it. But anyway, Matthew chapter 12. Let's go and get a little context here. I want us to look in verse 22, all right? Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. And I want you to think about just realms of life tonight. I want you to think about our nation. I want you to think about our church. I want you to think about relationships like that's what's in the home or friendships or anything like that or even in your personal life. Matthew 12, verse 22, the Bible says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil." How many believe that? Say amen. Devil possession is real. It was real back in the Bible days, and it still is real now. And I'm told if you go to other countries, you'll see it very outward. It's a very outward manifestation. And you don't see it a lot here in this country because it's more subtle. But it's just as real, probably more deadly and dangerous in this country than it is anywhere else in the world. And so I believe that there are people possessed. I believe Marilyn Manson's possessed with the devil. Amen. And Lady Gaga and some of these other rock and roll people and all this stuff. And so I believe in that. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." I'm glad our Savior knows how to open our eyes and open our mouth. Amen. And so verse 23, "And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisee..." Now that right there is enough to make a Pharisee mad. Because the Pharisees, if anybody knew the Old Testament, it was the Pharisees. And when the people began to see what Jesus did and they called him the son of David, the Pharisees knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. They knew those words, and they had an inkling of what was going on here, and it scared them. Scared them enough to where the seeds have been planted in the Pharisees' hearts of how they're going to kill Jesus because he is a threat to them. And so, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, now watch this now, the Pharisees represent the religious group of the day. They represent the group that is in power, and those that are in power don't like to give up power. How many of you know that? Say amen. Okay, so I want you to just think about these, think about our nation, but I also want you to think about, your own personal life. Okay, there are powers that are over you. Now, how many of you know that? There are powers that are over you. And things that are in power do not like to relinquish their power. And so when Christ comes on the scene in your life and tries to is going to take control of your life, those that are in power can't handle that. And so they're going to launch a counterattack against the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what these Pharisees did. It said, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." The B-E-E-L in that word is a different version of the word Baal. Okay? Beelzebub. We're basically talking about a name for the devil himself. This would be one of his titles in the Bible, Beelzebub. And so they're accusing Jesus of doing miracles by the devil himself. That's what they're accusing him of. And by the way, that's a false accusation. Can I hear you say amen? It's not real. So they invent a story to make Jesus look bad, okay? Now, you stop and think, maybe there was a time in your life, either before you got saved or even since you got saved, when the devil was trying to whisper into your soul that God was not as good as what he said he was, or the Bible wasn't as real as what it says it is, or it contains some errors, or this. I guarantee you, we're seeing the operation of the devil right here. This is how he works. He likes to get inside of our brains and convince us that God is not good, that God is not right, and that all of these things, and this is what he's trying to do. So watch this. Jesus knew their thoughts, verse 25. How did Jesus know their thoughts? Because he's the Word of God, and he's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he can divide asunder. He can pierce right into the soul. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, look at verse 25, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house, look at this now, he's bringing it down not from just a kingdom, but to a city or to a house, every house, every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And so he's giving you this idea here, this principle. That if you have a group of something, let's say it's a nation, if you have a city, if you have a home, if you have a church, if you have a marriage, if that is divided against itself, it won't last. You believe the Bible, say amen. And so he's teaching us a principle. Verse 27, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now I want you to look in Mark chapter 3, and I hope I read this right because I wrote it down in haste. Mark chapter 3, a kingdom divided. And so here it is again. They're doing the same deal. Verse 22, Mark chapter 3, verse 22. The scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Being accused again, first by the Pharisees in Matthew, and now by the scribes in Mark chapter 3. And he called them unto him and saith unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath, now I like this now, but hath an end. How many of you are looking forward to the day when the devil has an end? Amen? Okay, now. It used to really boggle my mind because I would see, you know, I've been studying conspiracies for years, and I would see all of these different, it was impossible for me to figure out which group was really the one leading and it just seemed like they were all against each other. Okay. What is that old saying about thieves? There is no what? There is no honor among thieves, okay? How many movies or TV shows have we seen where a group of thieves steal something and at the end there's five thieves and four of them get shot by the fifth thief? That's hard to say. Fifth thief, okay? I mean, it happened. That's really how it is, okay? Mobsters, gangsters, wicked people, They seem to band together for evil, but when it comes down to it, boom, they're going to divide against themselves and their kingdom. So how do we know that the kingdom of Satan is going to fall in the last days? How do we know that? All of his devils are going to start fighting one another. I'll give you an illustration of that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat is, and I used to always think that was a funny name, because it had fat on the end of it, right? Okay? And so here's Jehoshaphat, and he receives word that the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Ammonites are all going to come down and attack Judah in Jerusalem. And he's afraid, and he calls upon the Lord, and the Lord says it again. He says, be not afraid. Amen? And I was going to do that tonight out of Genesis 14 because I talked about it last week. Be not afraid, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And so he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So they all stand on the hillside, and these three armies come down to fight the battle, and they all come down into the same valley, and guess what they did, Roy? They all started fighting each other. Okay? What is that saying? Give a man enough rope, and he'll hang himself. And so God just gave them all that rope, and they all came down, and they all stood against one another, and they began to fight one another. And how many, I would like to have been there when the last two guys stood there with swords and stabbed each other simultaneously, and both fell backward dead. Okay? I would have liked to, that would make a great movie. Okay? And so really all the Israelites did, or the people of Judah, you know what they did afterward? When they got done watching that and singing, praising God, they went down there and they took all their weapons, took all their food, took all their gold. I mean, the Bible said they were, I don't know how many days, the Bible calls it a spoil. They were taking a spoil of the enemy. They were just cleaning up their stuff and taking it home. Okay, that's what God did. The nations were divided against themselves. And that's how God works it in these last days. Does everybody understand that principle so far? So a kingdom divided against itself. Now here's one of the reasons why this has been on my mind. Okay, because I saw this yesterday and have been seeing it today and we've been seeing it quite a bit here lately. Is that the United States are not so united anymore? I got a text message from a friend of mine. He's actually come visited this church. He's from Detroit. And he asked me, he said, do you know anybody in Montana? And I said, there is nobody in Montana. You'll be the first one to show up. Because I knew he's wanting to move to Montana. And he said, that's exactly why. He said, I want to get out of, he said, I got to leave Detroit. My wife and I are talking about it. We want to get out of Detroit and leave Detroit and move out of there and go to Montana. How many of you would like to move to Detroit? Put your hand. You have to be a Red Wings fan, Jared. No, that would not work out for you. Okay? Montana would seem to be a better place. Okay? Or Alaska or some place where there's a lot of land and very little people. But anyway, the United States is not so united anymore, okay? And it's only taken about 9 years for us to get there. Because on September 11th, 2001, our nation was united. Amen? Okay, and I don't care what you think about George Bush or this, that, and the other. But when he stood up on that fire truck in downtown Manhattan with that bullhorn, with those firemen, and he said, the nation hears you, and pretty soon the people who brought these buildings down are going to hear from all of us real soon. When he said that, the chills went up and down the backbones of most every American in this nation. And we were all saying, let's go get them. We were united. 9 years later, we're not united anymore. Now we have a situation in our country where the divisions of our country are just building. And they've been building over the years. And now they're getting worse. So now we have a situation where we have what we call a polarizing president and a polarizing leadership in our country. Polarizing meaning that everybody's going to their collective corners. Okay? Everybody's splitting up. And you have a situation. Here's what brought it to my attention here in the last couple of days. There's a deal, I think it's on one of the news stations, probably airing tonight or Thursday night. They're going to interview Roy Blunt, who is a senator from the state of Missouri, and he's up for re-election this year. And he is the one leading the charge in the state of Missouri. No, not Roy Blunt. Who is it? Peter Kinder, the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor of the state of Missouri is leading the charge to sue the federal government over this health care legislation because the state of Missouri says we have rights and you cannot make us mandate our people buying something that they don't want to buy. You can't make us do that. And that's the basis of the lawsuit. So here we have a state, and it's not just Missouri. It's a bunch of states that are suing the federal government and saying, you passed this legislation, and we weren't for it. Okay? You can picture America like a big donut. Everybody on the outside probably was for it on the coast. But everybody in the heart of America said, absolutely not. But they approved it anyway. And so you have all these states, 12, 13, 14, maybe more, that are suing the federal government and saying, absolutely not. And then you have Arizona. Arizona, who said they have been asking the federal government for years to help them with illegals coming into the country. So please help us. And nobody wanted to help. And so Arizona said, if you're not going to help, I mean, what would you do if you had somebody breaking into your house and you called 911 and they said, we'll have somebody there maybe in about an hour and a half? What would you do, Roy? Don't worry about it. Just send the meat wagon. Okay? That's what Arizona's doing. They said, help. The federal government said, well, we can't help you. We got too many other problems. So Arizona said, okay, we're going to fix this problem ourselves. All we're going to do is we're going to have the police, when they pull somebody over, ask them, are they a legal citizen? Are they legal resident? Because you don't have to be a citizen, you just have to be a legal resident. Okay? So all we're going to do is just ask them. And now, the federal government, including our own president, says, that's a stupid idea. It won't work. Please stop. And oh, by the way, we're suing you today. The federal government is suing the state of Arizona over this thing, saying, you can't do that. And racially profiling. And to my knowledge, I have never seen a Swede come up from Mexico illegally. Never seen it. Okay? And so that's just an excuse. Okay? Because it's a bigger agenda, and I won't get into that tonight. But here's my point, and I got to hurry because I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 6 because there's something that God wants to tie in with this. Okay? And I'm saying all this is God. I'm hoping that it is because God just kind of put this on my heart in the last few minutes. And so if it's not making a lot of sense, I apologize, but I'm trying my best. But anyway, here's the President of the United States now saying, okay, you're going to sue me? Well, I'm going to sue you right back. And who in here sees a uniting of the leadership of our federal government with the states? It's not happening. And I will tell you that there's a lot of people all around the world that will be very, very happy when the United States collapses. Because we have people that hate us all over the world, people that hate our guts. And so they want to see the destruction. And so how would our enemies, who was it? Khrushchev said, it dawned on him, we don't have to attack America. We'll take the country over without ever firing a shot. And we're that close. It's working, isn't it? That was in the 1960s. He said, we will take over America without ever firing a shot because we will just stand by and let America destroy America. And we're doing a pretty good job of it. Amen? The immorality in this country is destroying the very backbone and foundation of our nation. And there are powers that be that are waiting for the house to be divided. And when it's divided sufficiently, it will not stand. Picture the frame of a house, the walls coming up, and the walls are being supported by the roof trusses or the rafters or whatever. And if you can sufficiently cut those rafters and weaken the rafters, which are the bracing mechanism of the walls, if you can sufficiently cut those rafters, which are actually holding the walls in place, if you can cut them enough and weaken them enough, then when the roof collapses, the entire rest of the building collapses. And I don't know much about building, but I do know that much about it. And that's what's going on. Okay? So anyway, our nation is being divided. How is it being divided? Proverbs chapter 6. And you know what? Here we go. I want you to look in verse 16. And I want you to think of something, okay? I want you to think of biblical images that God gives us, okay? We have a dragon, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12. Who's that dragon, by the way? It's Satan, okay? And by the way, how many of you believe that the devil writes books and movies and songs? Okay? So we have this movie that's teaching our kids how to train their dragon. It's a movie out called How to Train Your Dragon. Has anybody heard of it? Okay? It's one of these animated computer graphic things. Okay? This dragon in Revelation chapter 12, he has seven heads. Okay? Literally, he has seven heads. There is a beast in Revelation 13 that rises up out of the sea. Guess how many heads he has? Yes, seven heads. And that represents a false spirit, a spirit of Antichrist. Seven things here. And then we have a woman in Revelation 17 who is riding this beast. Okay? Which means she's got the reins. Okay? She's got the reins. And her name is Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and here it is, abominations. So she is the progenitor or the mother of abominable things. Things that are an abomination, like snowmen. Just seeing if you're awake. The abominable snowman. Never mind. Okay? See, I didn't have much time to prepare. Okay? So anyway, she is the mother of abominations, which means that she brings them forth. So think of things that are an abomination to God. So we have in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are a what? An abomination to him. So we have seven things here that are an abomination. They represent the spirit of Antichrist working in our day. And they represent what Mystery Babylon has produced in this world. And very quickly, number one, a proud look is an abomination unto God. Now, you can think of all the dirty, nasty, vile things that you can possibly imagine, and yet a proud look is on this list of things that absolutely God hates, a proud look. Can I hear someone say amen? A proud look, okay? That is, your heart is full of pride. That is the third category of sin. And you can be everything in the world, and yet God can humble you. But the Bible says that God giveth grace to the humble, but he does what with the proud? He resists them. He won't have anything to do with you. If you're too stubborn and arrogant and proud to repent of your sin, God will not forgive you of your sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it's an abomination. A proud look. And I believe that we have proud looking people who are running the country. Number two, a lying tongue. This is an abomination. This is what Babylon brings forth. And she'll bring it forth in your personal life. She'll bring it forth in your home. She'll bring it forth in a church. Or she'll bring it forth in a nation. She'll bring it forth. She'll birth it in a workplace. How many of you believe that one? Say amen. A lying tongue. How many of you know somebody that's a gossiper? They're always spreading stuff about everybody. Okay? That's an abomination. And you can tell when Babylon is on the scene because her little child called a lying tongue is running around. Can I hear somebody say amen? So let's not be Babylon. A proud look, one. Number two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Every abortion that has taken place in America and China and Switzerland and Sweden and Europe and every place on the planet. That is the shedding of innocent blood. Can I hear somebody say amen? So think about what spirit birthed that concept into man. I mean, stop and think about this for a second. It is the most unnatural inclination in the world for a human being to want to kill their own unborn child. Planned Parenthood will not tell you the truth. Planned Parenthood, who counsels these 13, 14, 15-year-old girls to go get an abortion, will not tell you that these same girls 10 years down the road are devastated over what they did. They will not tell you the truth. Okay? And one of the most powerful entities in the United States of America is Planned Parenthood. And we have been, what was Roe versus Wade, 1972, 1973? And we have been 30 some odd years trying to get that reversed in this country and unsuccessful. And we even supposedly have a Supreme Court that is 5-4 more conservative than it is liberal. And we cannot get it passed, cannot get it overturned, cannot get it changed. Mystery Babylon has brought forth the hands that shed innocent blood. Number 18, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Be careful about what you're thinking about all day long. Can I hear somebody say amen? Be careful about it. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. And you have to stop and ask yourself the question. Who invented methamphetamine? I mean, you buy, what is it, toilet cleaner? Or whatever, and ammonia? And cold medicine, and somehow you stir it all up in a pot, and you smoke it? I mean, who thought of this? Okay? So anyway, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Think of all the evil inventions that are out there in the world right now that are destroying mankind, and these things are an abomination. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Always looking for some new trouble to get into. Sounds like a lot of teenagers we know. Amen? My goodness, sounds like a lot of adults we know now. We have a bunch of adults in this country that won't grow up. Right. Swift to running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. That's number 6. A false witness that speaketh lies. And then number 7, look what the 7th abomination is. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You probably know somebody that just likes to stir it up. Amen? You probably know somebody that is never content with two people being at peace. They're always wanting to stir it up somehow, some way. I want you to notice this. The phrasing here is soweth discord. Sowing, what do you do when you sow? You plant a seed. And I'm telling you, the spirit of Antichrist, these are the 7 marks of Antichrist. I mean, I could probably title the message that. The 7 marks of Antichrist. 7 things that are an abomination. And it all fits in with Revelation and all this stuff. And I think that we can absolutely, totally, plainly see that throughout the last few years, somebody has been sowing the seeds of discord. You know what discord means? I like words. Words paint pictures for us. Okay? A word is worth 1,000 pictures. Okay? And you have a cord, you have a rope. How's that rope made? It's bundled together. You have strands that are just woven together, twisted together. And the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. You got you a good rope, and it's got 3 little ropes on it. You might be able to break the 3 little ropes separately, but you bundle those things together, man, and you can't break them. Okay? I preached a message here, been a long time ago, about a threefold cord not easily broken. Okay, and the power of God and the grace of God working in our life keeps us with God, but also, and there's a lot of things with it, I won't get into that, but anyway, the word discord just paints a picture in your mind that they've unraveled the rope. Okay? Cannot destroy the nation as long as the United States. But they can destroy the nation when it's the discorded states. You said in my office chair, the nation of Missouri. Well, I'm here to tell you, the nation of Missouri would not stand for very long if we were all on our own. Texas, you know, they're talking about pulling out of the Union. And Texas thinks highly of itself. I don't think they'd last very long. Montana, probably a good place to go. You go and hide out. I don't think they'd last very long. See, the truth of it is, we don't like what's going on in our country. Can I hear you say amen? From one realm to the other, we don't like it. But the truth of it is, if they break apart this union, we will not stand as a nation. Okay? So think about it in a realm, in a home or a church. If they break apart the church, it won't stand. Okay? And I've been here 16 years total. And I've seen the seeds of discord being sown in the congregation. Little seeds, little bitty things. Boom, boom. And what happens? What happens? What happens when a little seed finds fertile ground? Okay? And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in marriages. I've seen it happen in this church. I've seen it happen in other churches. It happens in denominations. And so all the denominations now are on the verge of falling because they're not together anymore. The Free Will Baptist wants us to be part of the big conglomerate. We're not going to be part of the big conglomerate. Okay? And so I want you to think about how the devil's working in our country, and in our marriages, in our church, and even in our own personal lives. The devil would sow seeds of discord in our personal lives to get us to fall away from God. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Okay? And you know what seeds they are, and you know how they can be planted, and you know where the manure of your life is that'll make it grow really well, don't you? Okay? Yes, Caleb, absolutely. He knows. And so I just want you to think about how real this Bible is and what it's trying to explain to us. I don't know why God gave me this tonight. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's for me, maybe it's for somebody else. But I think God wants us aware of just how the devil operates. Let me hear somebody say amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Yeah, I would not that ye be ignorant. Okay? Peter said that, 2 Peter chapter 3. I would not be, brethren, be not ignorant of this one thing. Okay?